Hi, is this Morgan Freeman?
Yes, this is actor Morgan Freeman. How can I help you?
Wow, yeah, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just wanted to say thanks for hopping on the phone with me, and I just want to talk to you about Outbreak, because we're doing that episode today.
Of course. Well, it always humbles me to meet a fan.
Yeah, I didn't think the movie was very good, though.
Well, I didn't either, to be honest with you. As an actor, we have certain bills you have to pay.
Well, everybody has bills. Not to interrupt you, but, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an actor or not.
Sure, but in my experience, I've had lots of bills.
Okay, are you bad at managing money?
They offered me Outbreak, and I took it, and I needed the money.
Are you bad at managing your money? Do you, like, gamble or what?
Sure, I gamble. We all gamble.
No.
Waking up each day is a gamble.
Yeah, but I'm talking about betting on sports or, you know, craps.
Yeah, I bet on football. That's my vice.
What? NFL football?
Yep. For years now. I've spent... Remember the classic film I did, the one with Andy Dufresne?
Yeah.
Refresh my memory, please.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, Shawshank Redemption. I spent all my earnings in about 3 days at O'Hara's Casino betting on football, the NFL.
What team?
The Miami Dolphins.
Why would you bet on the Miami Dolphins? They're always terrible.
I love Miami, so sue me.
Okay, well, I'm not going to sue you, Morgan Freeman, but I do appreciate...
Please don't, I can't pay you.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, and you were great in Outbreak. I just, you know, the film was just okay for me.
I appreciate it. You know, if you don't like Outbreak, there's plenty of other great movies I was in. Bruce Almighty, the one with Andy Dufresne.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption.
I narrated that film about those waiters. Those very cold waiters.
Yeah, you're talking about the March of the Penguins.
Well, I must be going now.
Oh, okay. You're busy? What are you doing?
I'm getting high as balls, man.
All right. See you later, Morgan.
A pleasure. Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bad Science. I am your host, Ethan Edinburgh, and I am beyond delighted today to be talking about the greatest disease film of all time, Outbreak, 1995. Dustin Hoffman, Morgan Freeman, Rene Russo, Kevin Spacey, Cuba Gooding Jr., all star-studded cast.
Nick Dreaming.
Yeah. Outbreak, my guest today, you're hearing her voice a little bit. She's a comedy writer, producer who has worked on The Jim Jeffrey Show and Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. It's Zoe Klar.
Hi, I'm excited to discuss this incredible film that everyone probably loves.
Everyone, no one will stop talking about this movie.
I know. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh.
Yeah.
57%.
Just to be clear.
Yeah, definitely not fresh at all.
A very unfresh film. We're talking with the associate professor at UCLA, Dr. Beth A. Lazar. Oh my God, I knew I was going to mess this up. How many Z's are in this name? Lazazera, is that correct?
It's very close. Lazazera.
Lazazera. Oh, my God. How am I supposed to get that, Zoe?
Lazazera. What was the name of the map lady? Penedides? Penanides?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Crazy names all over the place
very
here.
Very good movie.
Lazazera. Is that correct?
That's
okay.
Correct.
Dr. Beth A. Lazazera. And you probably know her from her publications, very famously, The Sporulation Transcription Factor, SPO-OA, is required for biofilm development in Bacillus subtilis.
Oh my God, I read that every day.
It's better and better every time.
I love it. Oh yeah, you really learn something new each time you read it.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's quorum sensing and starvation signals for entry into stationary phase.
Yes.
And then, Zoe, I was hoping that actually you would read this publication
lucky
of hers
you.
In red here.
The phosphoenapyruvate phosphotransferase system, and important for biofilm formation by Vibrio cholerae. How's that? As it is for metabolism and coli. Oh, E. coli.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
E. coli, sure, guys.
Yeah. You did a superb job, and also, yeah, leads us right into the film.
Yeah.
This was, I think we were talking briefly, you were saying that the Mataba, is that the correct virus in this movie?
The fake virus.
Right, yes. The fake virus. Mataba is based on E. coli, is that correct?
Actually, Ebola.
Ebola? Oh, okay. I confuse all my E's.
Yes.
Okay. It's fine.
So first of all, we wanted to get the difference between viruses and bacteria straight, because as we were talking before the pod, I was just using them like it's the same shit, and apparently not the case.
Definitely not the case. Bacteria are actually living cells that can replicate on their own. Right? They don't need us to replicate, whereas viruses have to infect other cells to replicate.
Okay.
And they're actually very different. So you can treat a bacterial infection with antibiotics. You cannot treat a viral infection with antibiotics, which is a really important distinction.
Okay. So. Very good. And so this one was a virus because it was on people?
There was a host. Is that what it means?
Is that what that means?
No.
I asked a triggering question, I guess.
And I like that we're both just wrong off the bat.
We know this from what they were looking at in the movie. They actually show a picture of this organism.
Right.
It's a good question whether I just assumed it was a virus, but because a lot of things about a bacteria can actually do all the same things that this virus will do. It can move from host to host. It can infect people. Bacteria can do this. But in this case, it was a virus. And they have this image, which you have to get to a very small scale to see this, because viruses are much smaller than individual bacterial cells.
Okay.
So,
I want to know what you guys thought of the movie. I had not seen this film before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So had you seen this?
No, that will be the first and last time. Honestly, if it's playing in a bar, I will run out.
You won't even watch it if you're just having a beer?
I will not watch it. I will dump the beer out all over the bar and run.
Okay, so what did you dislike about Outbreak?
Well, I liked when Kevin Spacey died. But other than that, there wasn't really... Oh, the monkey was cute.
Yeah.
Infected.
I gotta say, and that made me laugh every single time that they showed the monkey. Because sometimes it was just an insert shot of the monkey's
so
face.
So many. I was like, they got this on Getty Images. There's no way they shot this.
Yeah, I thought that was all great. But anyway, not to interrupt.
No, it's fine. What didn't I like about the movie? I guess the plot, the writing. The premise was fine. We all know that premise, you know?
Yeah.
I would say that's it.
Okay, and you watched it yesterday?
I watched it last night.
Right, yeah, okay, same.
It's really stuck with me.
And Beth, you also mentioned, right, you hadn't seen it until...
I had not seen it until this.
Great.
And you loved it.
Favorite film.
You know, I came in with very low expectations, and it maybe marginally exceeded those expectations, but I didn't have a lot high expectations for it, so...
That's fair.
It was more engaging than I thought it would be, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it moved fast.
It did.
Really? Because about halfway through, I was like, an hour left? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I had that feeling
I paused it, and I was like, there is no way I can do this. But I suffered through.
Yeah. I just meant, plot-wise, we were going from place to place fairly quickly. Sometimes, especially in the second half, I didn't even know why or where we were going.
No.
You know, when he's like, at one point, it becomes glaringly obvious that he has to get to this boat. And I was just thinking, why? What's on the boat?
The Tycoon Seattle? Or something like that?
Yeah, the TikTok Seattle or something?
Yeah.
What do you need on this boat?
I guess
boat?
He needed the photo of the monkey.
Right, but there's no way that he would have known that there's a picture of this monkey on the boat.
No.
I mean, it was like they had enough helicopter scenes that we didn't also need the one of him helicoptering next to the boat and jumping onto the whatever, but...
And giving a long thumbs up to Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. had no personality. His character was like cardboard.
Yeah, it's so true. And by the way, so glad you mentioned the helicopters, because did you also realize this? Like, there are so many helicopters in this.
Many.
It's like all the time. There's helicopters in the background. There's like scenes will start and end with helicopters landing and taking off. It was constant.
Lots of copters.
Lots of copters in this. I think that's like a cheap move, not to like insult the filmmakers, but I guess we're doing so much already.
Is the filmmaker's dad listening? Like,
get over it. Be proud of your son.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's a way to say, this is a real movie. we have legit budget, mm-hmm. and like you're in for some serious stuff because mm-hmm. helicopters.
Helicopters, tanks, airplanes.
Yeah.
But the level of stars in the movie should have given them that credit.
Right, I agree. You don't need constant choppers.
There were it was really packed with stars. I was shocked.
So many.
Yes.
I was like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah.
Like, how much did you get paid?
Probably a lot.
I guess
I was thinking about that, too. Like, Morgan Freeman must have been paid so much money and really didn't do anything.
He really was not good in this movie.
But he didn't have to be. I mean, he just sat there for a few scenes, had a few lines. And then, I mean, they probably shot that in like a day.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. They probably green screened him in. I mean, it was like.
It was crazy. So, yeah, if you like a bunch of stars doing not much and helicopters. This is absolutely the film for you.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Okay, so pretty much across the board here, as far as movie reviews go, none of us love the movie.
No.
Well,
except for when Kevin Spacey died, as I mentioned.
Right, that was cool.
That was cool.
Also, super dick of him not to say anything.
Oh, you mean when his suit got punctured?
Yes,
yeah, suit
gets punctured, doesn't say anything, and then everybody experiences the sickness coming on. Like, mm-hmm. and they're the specialists. They have been seeing people get sick, so he knows he's getting sick.
He knew. Is that true?
It's highly irresponsible, right? Because then he can go spread the disease, right?
Of course.
It's incredibly irresponsible.
To the only people that can save humanity, he's going to spread the disease.
Come on.
And he doesn't say anything until he passes out. Yeah. I mean, technically, then he doesn't even say anything.
I know,
he
but she
out.
Knew, the Rene Russo or whatever knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like, I could tell something was up when I saw the giant hole in his suit.
But I didn't know what.
Would that happen if you got a hole in your suit? You would game over?
With something like Ebola? Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I had a lot of questions about that whole... I guess, we're done.
There's tremendous controls on sharps. Anything sharp, so you cannot to avoid. So you should not be able to easily
put a
hole in your suit.
And if you did cut the suit, is duct tape the move? Because there was a lot of duct tape. It's basically sponsored by duct tape.
Yeah, so much.
That's a good question. This is a BSL-4 facility that they were talking about when they were doing some of this research, and there's only a few of those in the country, and I personally haven't worked in one, so whether they would be willing to use duct tape, I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, even after they were duct taping up the hole, you could see in, other shots that these suits were covered in duct tape. Like, the fashion, the person who did costumes was like, more duct tape.
We
need absolutely more.
That's the standard.
There is a lot. So they do use, they will use tape, whether it's duct tape or another type of tape, but they do use a lot of tape to seal the areas where gloves meet the, meet the rest of the.
Okay, so that was real.
I just assumed they have some science Velcro suit.
Yeah, science
pressurized. I don't know. Duct tape, it seems so.
You would think the CDC would have something better than duct tape.
Yeah.
But hey.
That's what I used to fix a guitar strap when I was 9.
Kevin Spacey did not know what he was doing with that duct tape. There were gaps everywhere.
Yep.
Let me just say.
And you would know.
I would know. I was watching.
They also, these suits were hooked up. If you haven't seen the film, and none of us are recommending it,
the
suits are hooked up to these red spiral cables that go to the roof, which to me just looked very comical, but I don't know anything about anything.
Was that an oxygen?
Yeah. You can't breathe the air in the room, so you've got to breathe you have to breathe clean air. So it's coming from outside the room, usually going through a filter before it comes, what's called a HEPA filter. So you're removing various things, but mostly you make sure you're removing any microbes that could actually come back into your suit.
If you, would it pressurize the suit? In other words, if you do cut the suit, wouldn't you still be okay? As far as getting diseases in there because the air would be pushing it out. Am I making that up?
I have no idea.
No, it's a good point. And I don't know how pressurized the suits are.
Okay.
You don't want to be working in a lot of pressure in those suits. That would get quite uncomfortable. And most labs, even just your basic labs are all under slight positive pressure so that things, so that you're not. You know, you're not easily taking things move out. But you can imagine that would dissipate, one suit in a large room, that pressure would dissipate very quickly.
Right.
So, and then you could be exposed.
Right.
Okay. I wanted to quickly ask also, getting away from the movie for a second.
I'm
about
fine with that.
Your
I'm completely okay with that.
About your, like, background, how you got into this field at all, because I'll tell you, like, brutal truth here. I do, you know, minimal research for each film that comes out, and usually it's kind of fun. There's, you know, I'm trying to learn about hover technology or, like, how things could potentially transport from place to place using God knows what. But I had so much trouble today looking at diseases and the history of them and how, like, the effects of them. And so, it's just, like, the imagery of it is really difficult to take in. And, like, reading descriptions of what happens to people and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So
Cuba Gooding Jr. completely lost his marbles and vomited in his suit.
Yeah.
I know.
I can't, it makes sense to me.
I mean, the lesions were rough.
Very rough.
Bleeding eyeballs, like, all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So,
and you were dealing with a particularly horrific disease. So Ebola totally. Is particularly horrible. And so if you're looking at images of people infected with it, those are going to be particularly hard.
And that was similar to the Mataba virus. It looked like that.
Right. Yeah. That's okay. What this is based on. So that is particularly challenging.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I'm a researcher and not a physician, because I actually mm-hmm. think it is much harder to deal with people and who are really ill. So I can work with I work with bacteria in the lab, and they, you know, you're not dealing with that kind of imagery.
Right.
And mostly at this point now, I don't have to, you know, the worst thing that happens is to make, you know, a mouse sick. And, you know, mice have lots of fur and they don't look that bad. You know, they don't look like
you. You don't have to shave them to see the lesions.
Yeah, thank God.
So the worst we've done is to give them pneumonia and they kind of,
you could bounce back or die, like whatever. It's a mouse.
Yeah, it's a mouse. We have plenty of
mouse.
Them. But, I mean, you, like, how did you start getting interested in that? You know what? Because I mean, for me, it just breeds paranoia. You know, I read about this kind of thing, and I just get like, oh no, how do I avoid this? Do I just wash my hands constantly? You know.
So I think there's often two ways you can go. So I know people who've gone into the microbiology field and have become paranoid,
right?
And are incredibly anal about having everything be clean, and then others like myself who are actually very. Go the other opposite direction, right?
It's opposite that, direction.
Yeah. No.
You're a disaster.
No, but I don't worry about it. Yeah. But I don't worry about it. Actually, is what it is. I don't worry about contracting viruses and contracting bacteria from my environment and getting terribly ill.
Smuggles a monkey from Africa and unleashes it in the woods.
Yeah. Don't you worry about that?
I'm scared.
Me too.
Hello. The pet store didn't even want it because it was a girl monkey.
Yeah, they only wanted a guy because they've.
Thankfully, there's numbers on our side. One monkey, not a problem.
I have a question. So, in the beginning of the movie, there was like this scene in Zaire where this disease originally came up in like the 60s or something.
Yes.
And then the American government bombed it to get rid of the disease, but they just like blew up all of Zaire or whatever. I don't really know what happened.
Yeah,
it was unclear.
That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And then we're supposed to believe that these monkeys were carrying it for 30 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, did the monkeys get the disease again, or was it just like dormant in their system?
Yeah, good call.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So this
doctor?
Doctor, help us.
So this does have, thinking about like HIV research, right? Mm-hmm. So HIV is thought to have come from what's called simian immunodeficiency virus, so SIV. So it's something that infects monkeys, for instance. But it doesn't, but that virus doesn't infect humans. So something changed and you eventually got a virus that now could infect humans. So they can be a reservoir for viruses that can eventually mutate and become something that infects us.
Okay.
There also are some animals that can be carriers of something that they can give us. So I think in the case of Ebola, there's actually a carrier animal, which is not a monkey. It's actually probably a bat. Mm-hmm. And that's how humans contract the virus from animals.
So it's possible that like the monkeys in the area were carrying this virus for 30 years. Wow.
Yes, or a different virus that eventually hopped into humans and then started spreading at some point between humans.
Also, bats are now officially scarier than they were before.
Never liked bats anyway, so I guess I'll have to stop petting them every time I see one.
Yeah, you really should.
It's a bad habit, but what can I do?
I mean, I get it. You like them, but just cut it up.
Those wings.
So wait, how did this all start? What made you think, oh, I'm going to spend my life looking at diseases and hopefully not getting them?
I think I probably started like many of students who go into college thinking I want to become a doctor and realizing, because that's all they know. Right. And they think I'm interested in biology and I think I want to be a doctor. And then they think, as I did, my mother was a nurse and she was convinced doctors had horrible lives. And she worked very hard to convince me by the time I started college, you don't want to be a doctor. So then I was just looking around going, well, what else am I going to do?
Yeah, I could get a doctorate.
Well, that I didn't even know about at the time I started college. But at that time, I was looking at biology and at that time you could study zoology or animals, botany, plants, or microbes. And, I took a zoology class and you dissected an animal and you named all the different parts and that bored me. And I had to take the same with plants. And I thought, oh, no. But then microbiology was so much more molecular. You could actually do experiments and actually controlled experiments and then I learned about the world of microbes and they were the most diverse thing I could, they do more things than I ever thought was possible, right? So they affect every aspect of life, and I thought, this is what I want to work on. Wow. So.
Good cool. for you. Yeah, I'm glad there's people like that.
I thought I wanted to be a doctor, too, and look how far I've come.
Yeah, what happened there?
Oh, just life. Life got in the way.
Oh, all right.
Too many funny experiences, I guess.
Just too many funny things you had.
It's so funny.
Got to make this my career.
Yeah, I guess I had to.
Well, listen, before we move on to all this wonderful science that I want to get to, I'd like to play a game with both of you.
Let's do it.
Which I'm calling Sandman Viper Command. This is a quiz. Over.
Sandman Viper Command. This is a quiz. Over.
Copy. 10-4.
That was another hilarious thing about the film, also, that they've so many times.
Viper 9. This is Viper 9 calling to SandQuest.
SandQuest. We're going to talk here.
So much. It was like every time they introduced their.
I love that army jargon stuff. It made me laugh every time.
There was a lot.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen. I'm going to say the name of an outbreak. Okay, and I want you to tell me what time period you think it was, roughly what year,
okay,
and how many people died because of it.
This sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a great game for kids.
Yeah, I love it. Let's go.
And then, hopefully you can give us a closer answer.
Hopefully.
I don't know.
I'm going to be spot on, and I resent that.
No, great. I hope you are.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, the first one, Asian flu.
Okay, that's fake. That's fake. That killed no one. That's not real. No, maybe let's say that sounds kind of racist, so I'm going to say 1950s.
Whoa, yes.
Yes.
1956 to 58.
Wow. How many people died? I'm going to say 1,000.
Okay. Do you have any guess on the amount of people perished?
We'll go in the order of 200.
200. 2 million guys.
What?
Asian flu killed 2 million people in the 50s.
Wow.
All right.
Well, it is racist, so I feel good about that.
I mean, honestly, that you've already won the game.
I did.
All right. The next one is HIV/AIDS pandemic.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that 1980s it started. 1970s it started.
This is the what I have written here from the internet is the peak of it.
Oh, the peak?
Whatever that means.
The peak, I would say, was 1983.
Okay. And how many people?
How many people have died altogether?
Yes.
Oh, short. Worldwide?
Sure.
4 million.
Okay.
Is that really high?
Dr. Beth.
We must be more than 4 million. It's got to be closer to a billion.
Wow.
To a billion?
I don't know.
Man. Okay, first of all, I don't know for sure. And secondly, I got this information from a website from the internet.
Wikipedia?
It was something.org. That's all that I know.
That sounds legit.
It sounds legit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's often wrong.
Okay.
But anyways, it says the peak was from 2005 to 2012, which I was surprised by, but I thought maybe you could fill us in. And the death toll it said was 36 million.
Okay.
Which is still a Quite a few.
I guess it's like how many people have been infected with HIV versus how many people have died from AIDS.
Right. And right. with the drug treatment, people are... There's far fewer people dying of AIDS than there were, you know.
2005, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about, because I would have guessed the 80s. Same. I thought it was like an 80s, early 90s ordeal, and then
but this is a worldwide number, so, we may have peaked in the U.S. before that period.
And we don't share knowledge of technology with other countries. I mean, like, they're suffering from diseases, and we know we can help them, and we don't. Sounds like a lot like outbreak.
Sounds like outbreak to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like a government conspiracy to me.
Well, there is an issue with the cost of drugs, right, that it becomes hard for some countries to get the drugs because of the cost. So there is that. Some of it is also just certain awareness and practices that go on independent of kind of high technology.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess the confirmed number of deaths would be different from what we guess.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh.
Not guess. I mean, I didn't guess anything. I was spot on so with Asian flu. Don't forget that. I nailed that.
That on your resume.
It honestly might go on the top.
Okay, the next one is the third cholera pandemic.
Oh, come on. The third one? Everyone knows that. I'm going to say that was 1991. And it killed 7,000.
Okay.
You know, I have no better information
than
that.
You don't know the cholera pandemics?
I know the cholera pandemics. I think we're only in the third one. I think we're currently in the third one.
I've according to my .org site, there's been at least six, because there was another fact I remember about cholera pandemic.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but the third one was supposedly really bad. It was from 1852 to 1860.
That was my second guess.
And the total was 1 million. Yeah, I was on that.
1 million?
Yeah, 1 million people.
Wow. Well, I'm kind of glad, because, like, population control, we already have a lot of them, so, like... Third cholera, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Some more cholera pandemics, please.
Bless you.
Yeah. To six, okay.
But, I mean, also, what is cholera? Can I just ask you that? Do you know that?
I do. Okay. So that's a bacterium.
Okay.
It's a pooper, right?
It's one that causes you to poop tremendous amounts. Mm. Mostly, it becomes pure liquid coming out of you, but at a huge pace.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby over here.
And so the problem is it you drink contaminated water. So you actually consume it, because it lives in water.
Oh, okay.
And then you drink contaminated water. And so you tend to see cholera outbreaks in places that have a breakdown in water treatment. So after, let's say, an earthquake or a hurricane, and that's why you can see these outbreaks.
Okay. Man, sometimes I think, we're getting a little silly with all the water filters and stuff, but now I just want everything filtered like 9 times.
Got to keep that stuff solid.
Yeah, so that it doesn't come out liquid.
Liquid.
Okay, how about Pharaoh's curse?
Okay. I'm going to say that was like... I'm going to say like 300 BC.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably killed like... 500,000
okay.
Jews.
Yep. That's a classic Pharaoh move.
Yeah. Just a guess.
Pharaoh's, I don't know. I remember in the 70s when the King Tut exhibit went around, there was this, because I was a kid and I remember there was all these news stories about all these bad things that happened to people after they went and saw the King Tut exhibit. And so there
sounds
was
like
this curse associated with it.
Okay.
That was the 1970s. So maybe it has something to do with that.
That sounds fascinating, and I'd like to look it up. That one's a curveball. I did make up Pharaoh's curse.
Damn it.
Moving on, the Black Death.
Oh. Yeah, now the Jews caused that one. That one I know. just kidding. Black Death.
Well, according to some people, you're probably right.
1450?
It's very close. Do you know the dates here?
Yes.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's around this. So it's somewhere around 1500, yeah.
This is 1346 to 1353, where I guess the death toll.
Yeah, that was a big kahuna.
Mm-hmm. It's a big kahuna disease.
Big kahuna disease.
It was half of Europe basically died.
Right, yeah.
Well,
who needs them is what you're... Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say like that was probably like 3 million. I don't know how many people were even alive.
The population
then
was much less than now.
That would be a big one.
True.
Do I have a different number? No, I don't know.
You agree 3 million?
Yeah, I'll go with 3 million.
Wow, agreeing on a guess. Yeah. Okay, no. The death toll was 75 to 200 million.
75 to 200 million?
Yes.
Well, that's a range if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably like you were saying before, though. They just don't know.
Yeah, they have
confirmed.
No idea.
They just killed everybody, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, it was the bubonic plague, which I read there are still cases of.
There are. So after there are. This is one where any microbe that kills all of its host suddenly it runs out. It's done.
Right.
So it eventually, as with anything like this, it has to kind of stop and being so infectious, and eventually did become much less infectious,
okay.
Which is why you don't see these outbreaks like that horrible Black Plague happen anymore. So you do get occasional outbreaks.
Okay.
Then they just die.
Actually, we have antibiotics now, so we can treat people.
Great.
Hmm. Yeah.
Keep them alive, then.
What makes it so bad, the bubonic plague? Why did it, spread? Like, does it spread really quickly? Does it kill quickly, as in outbreak 1995?
I think it does. It does kill quite quickly. It also... I mean, at that time, people, they didn't know what caused disease. They didn't know how to stop it from
right.
spreading. So, and I think any contact with a person who was infected could end up yourself being infected.
Am I making up something about poisoned water, or is that just a myth?
Well, there's all sorts of poison. So,
with the Black Plague. Well, I remember hearing that Jews poison the water, which is why I brought that up. I'm Jewish. I can say this all I want. But, like, was that a real thing?
Is
that what we do?
I'd have to check.
Be honest.
I don't know with plague if it came through the water or not. Typhoid is one that usually is associated with water being mm-hmm. contaminated.
Okay, I was going to ask about typhoid because that's another one that's still around. That
yeah.
I don't know. Some of these diseases, I just maybe to protect myself, I logged in my brain like, oh, these are past problems that we don't have anymore. But that is not the case with a lot of these.
Right, and they're going to be new ones.
There will be new ones as, things
Great.
Change, right? So a good example of a new one is Legionnaire's disease,
okay.
right? And that was one because prior to the, 1970s, they didn't have these water, cooling systems that had these big water coolers where you chilled an entire building, large building. And so these bacteria that had never caused disease before, they found a nice home in these water cooling towers, and then it was dispersed to
wow.
everybody. And so it called Legionnaire's disease because the Legionnaire's Convention, which was mostly older people who were more immune compromised, you get
okay.
a little bit more immune compromised when you're older,
Sick.
Got infected.
All right, bye.
So
yeah.
that's an example of a new thing.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
That happened.
Sweet release.
So new technology, new potential for disease.
Right.
And is it exciting for, I was going to say you people, but it sounds terrible. Is it exciting for scientists when there's a new disease? Because Dustin Hoffman is legit hyped.
Amped.
Yeah.
He was like, I got to go there now to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Is
he tells Morgan Freeman, this is the biggest thing we've ever seen, right? This is a brand new virus and I'm hyped about it. You know that.
Right. But it's not a brand new virus.
Oh, right.
The government is hiding it from you.
Yes.
Are there diseases that the government is hiding from us?
That was another question I wrote down.
Yeah, I mean, I must know.
Or if they got busted for it before.
Oh, yeah.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know of them being busted for it. I think it's always... I think it's always the worry what... Not a worry, but in some circles, people always wonder what the Army is doing with biological research, which
sure.
is always about, research to protect troops. But then the more conspiracy theorists might think they're actually, always,
right.
are they really doing something else with it? So
yeah.
I was sort of like, at one point in the movie, after they blew up Zaire, they were like, they took blood from one of the people, and I guess they were... I was confused whether they were hiding it because they wanted to weaponize it. Because at one point in the movie, they were like, they're trying to use this as a biological weapon.
Right.
But I thought they were just trying to hide it because they shouldn't have blown up Zaire. It's like, couldn't you have picked
right.
one? It was
yeah.
like, you don't need both.
Good
you
call.
Throw in this biological weapon thing like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Dr. Beth?
I think it's because people do wonder... I do know people who always wonder, what is the military doing with their biological research, right? And they have this BSL, and they do have a BSL-4 facility where they can work with viruses like Ebola. So they, you know, it is...
When you say BSL-4, can we define that also?
Well, they actually did a good job of that in the movie as well.
There was a lot of text for that part.
Yeah, oh my God. Another, like, total comedy section of the film. The entire... Yeah. Listen, if you're not going to watch this movie, watch the intro sequence, because it's like, so funny.
It was like Scrubs, kind of, where like everyone was like passing out, passing into different rooms.
Yes, and they kept every room, so it's like this really long, continuous shot.
Yeah, they could have cut out like half of that.
Oh, easy. And every time they enter a new room, there's a new, like, lower title card of where you are.
Yeah.
And, like, none of it means anything to us. We don't know what these rooms are. And
which says the movie didn't do a good job.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just found that so funny, because usually you'll see, like, one thing. Like, you'll get into a government facility in a movie, and it'll say, like, private sector, FBI, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. We're, like, in the back halls of the FBI. And this one just kept, like...
Kept going.
Biological room 1, sector 4, biological room 2, sector 3. And you're like, what? Who cares? What are we talking about here? And then everybody, all the background actors, you'll just hear, like, the mumbling, because I have my captions on, because I didn't want to miss any, like, medical jargon or whatever. And
you can't miss that stuff.
And all they're saying is, like, people will walk by, and they're just mumbling, like, yeah, no, see you later. No, I think they're going to be here soon.
I mean,
like,
honestly,
three times where they said, like, I think they're going to be here in a second.
That's the most, probably the most accurate depiction of what happens in these labs. Yes. It's just people being like, oh, she'll be here for the meeting. Like, right, nothing important.
No, I saw her earlier. And then they just walk out of the scene.
Aw, what's for lunch?
Okay, wait, sorry. BSL.
So the BSLs, they showed a 2, 3, and 4, which, and so... Most universities will definitely have, so this is a common thing. So universities have BSL-2 facilities, BSL-3 facilities, and then there's a handful of places with BSL-4 facilities.
And these are,
so
like,
this
levels
is not
of
specific.
Restriction or like...
They're levels of restriction and levels of care that you, procedures you have to use to do the work in those facilities.
Okay.
So how do you, like, to protect yourself and the environment?
Didn't it say like the fourth one was like not curable stuff or something like that?
Highly virulent or something?
Oh, yes.
Was that a term?
Virulent.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Virulent.
Sounds like a new vegan protein shake.
Virulent. It does. It really does.
Okay. So
that's very real and very, and researchers in a lot of places would probably know what this is, but clearly it didn't speak to the general public.
Oh, my God. Not at all. No. It was almost purposefully.
Right over the head.
Over our head. Yeah. It was kind of saying, like, you don't know about this.
Right.
And you can't know.
They could have just had one line where it's like, oh, we're in BSL-4 where the most serious viruses get tested.
Yes.
And then I would have been like, great, I totally get it.
Yeah, that would have been fine. Yeah. And by the way,
dialogue.
That took 6 seconds.
Well, thank you.
Really good.
Where's my Oscar?
I don't think anybody got one for this film.
Pray.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
Okay, so I have so much. I don't know. I mean, Zoe, obviously, if you have any questions at all, I want you to just attack Beth with them. But I have a bunch, and they range from somewhat accurate to really stupid.
I like that note that says so many helicopters.
So many helicopters. I couldn't stand it. I was at one point throughout the movie just shouting when I would see a helicopter. I was just like, copters, guys, more copters.
Copters, more copters.
I was losing my mind. Okay, so.
I have a question.
Go,
yeah,
go.
So what they were calling the clean sweep, which was basically blowing up an entire city where there were people. Oh my God, you're breathing like this.
Yeah,
happens.
That no, thankfully no.
Okay. Wow. She said it pretty nonchalantly, though, yeah. Like as if it we're was like, a real thing.
I guess we're gonna have to do a clean sweep over here. Like it was just something that they do whenever an outbreak happens. Outbreak.
No,
that doesn't happen.
No,
no.
Don't worry, guys. It didn't horrible. Happen in the movie either.
That's true. Well, yeah. It did at the
Came
beginning.
Close.
Oh, right at the beginning. Well, that was
yeah.
Zaire.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't count.
Yeah. Not doesn't count at all.
Which I also read that they got wrong, by the way, because at that time, so it was temporarily called Zaire, but in the time period that the movie takes place, it was the Republic of Congo.
Oh, come on, guys.
So they even messed that up.
Well, they didn't
crazy.
Have Wikipedia then, so you can't really blame them.
Right, yeah, they would have had to call someone.
Oh my God, or an encyclopedia? Are you kidding me?
Are you joking me? I'm making a movie.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about the latest E. coli outbreak. I don't know what you know about
E. coli
it.
Or Ebola?
Oh, man. I think E. coli. I think what I wrote down was
Chipotle?
That recently there was a Chipotle.
Oh, that one. Okay.
No. I mean, we can talk to that. But all I read was that there was like a multi-state E. coli outbreak
yes.
that has been happening like in the last few years. Is that
yes,
true?
That is true.
So what's the deal with that? How do we avoid it? Should I be as scared as I am currently?
It's a good. So I don't worry about it mostly because I am trusting our government policies to test and actually put in and correct
that. That is your first
and
mistake.
I don't,
yeah,
Beth.
Zoe and I are not
I
signing on to that.
I did not trust
and
I don't,
you. Lost me.
And I don't
Hoffman?
Eat a Chipotle. So
okay, that's good advice overall, I think.
Where do you get your soy rizo?
Yeah, what are you nuts? It's the only place.
Yeah.
I need my sofritas in the morning.
Sofritas, that's right.
So should we? It's a good. I think there has to be a lot more research into what are the why all these outbreaks happen. I mean, I think we don't yet have all the answers. So part of it clearly comes from some of these outbreaks that come from lettuce. Right here in California.
Yeah,
oh, right.
Why
the
is
lettuce.
The lettuce
one.
What is
romaine
that?
Romaine lettuce.
Why can't we grow lettuce anymore? It seems so basic.
What
it's
about
lettuce.
The good old days?
Yeah. What?
But honestly, if you die from eating lettuce, maybe it's your time to go.
That's just God.
Yeah. It's just like maybe eat less salad.
Eat less salad.
That's the rule.
I mean, it's a little too much salad for you. Why is it? I'm sorry, but it sounds very stupid coming out of my mouth. But like what?
You're very smart.
Thanks. Yeah. So I just need to hear that many times. Why lettuce in particular? Or why, you know, is it something the way that it's grown? I don't understand.
It's something about how it's being grown in terms of the water or the fertilizer that they're using is contaminated. And then it's not, the way it's treated afterwards does not get rid of it, right? Mm. Or lets it propagate.
That seems like such a 1930s problem. Like, how could we still in 2019 not know how to prepare lettuce for people to consume?
Yeah, I agree completely.
And part of it's the scale at which it's done. So compared to 1930
totally
now,
that's
and the
lot.
Scale at which it's done and the density with which it's planted now is very different.
But shouldn't they be testing it? Like, shouldn't they, like, if they have, like, a whole entire field of lettuce and they're using the same fertilizer and water on all of them, shouldn't they just be like, oh, why don't we just test this head?
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Put it through the machine that does that.
The Ebola.
And you can test one and miss and not get a positive result, but yet maybe 10% are contaminated because it's a numbers. It's not that, you
I
got it.
I think the farmer needs to eat
everywhere.
All of the lettuce and then wait 24 hours and just see what happens.
Yeah. Does it strike that fast? That's a good question, actually.
Oh, yeah. How long does it take?
It depends. It can be fast. It depends on how high the dose is you're getting. Mm-hmm.
I want that good shit.
Yeah, I want a high dose.
So if you start with one, it's going to take more time, but it's pretty quick. So
because in this movie, the disease moves crazy fast. Is that accurate at all? Are there diseases that move that fast?
There are diseases that move that fast. Virus, these small things can replicate quite quickly. By being small, you can actually make a copy of yourself very fast because there's not a lot.
Yeah, in the movie, it seemed like there was like a mutation that happened that made it go from like not airborne to being airborne. It seemed like it just happened in this one monkey. Like, I was confused.
Yeah.
Like, do mutations happen like that?
There's a cool word for that too, right? When it becomes airborne, what they said it in the movie, but I can't remember what that is. Like, I don't know. He says it over. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Dustin?
Yeah,
Dustin says
Dustin
it?
Said it.
Man, he really said a lot in that movie.
Why is it so weird to just say his first name, by
Dustin?
The way? Yeah. It doesn't seem like a Dustman. When you say Dustin Hoffman, it's like, oh, yeah, totally.
What do you think about the romantic connection between Dustin and his ex-wife?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to comment here. You can
yeah,
take
Dr.
One.
Beth? Did you think that was an important part of the movie?
No.
You don't. Is there a lot of like interlab romances?
Ooh.
That does go on, yes.
Oh, yeah. Infectious diseases are very incestuous.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
That sounds so cool. That yeah. sounds like a movie
it's
I want to see.
About, yeah. That's more about the cloistered nature of the scientists that they don't get out enough to meet other people,
oh,
I think, right?
Yeah.
Plus, like, what's hotter than Ebola?
Yeah, exactly. We might die at any minute.
Yeah, that is.
Might as well.
Let's rip these suits off and see what happens.
Yeah. Either we make love, get a disease, or both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can replicate very quickly, which means that you will
can
die.
Get sick very quickly.
Okay, very quickly. Great. So that's frightening. I saw like a little video of that online, and that was one of the moments where I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break now. Because just seeing these like, you know, little microbes replicate, I hated that.
It seemed like they had red eyes, and then within 12 hours they had lesions.
Yep. And then another 12 hours, they were dead,
gonzo.
Like bleeding from every orifice. Are there diseases that do that? That's another question.
Oh, yeah.
They
eyeball
look
blood?
Like crazy. I don't know. There's like blood coming out of everywhere.
I don't think there are too many that do that. That do that. But that is what Ebola does.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Jeez.
Yeah.
You would think the lesions would be enough to like really sell that they're sick, but no, they had to bleed out of their eyes and ears and stuff too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was
makes
a lot.
For a good movie effect, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, yeah, but it also scares me.
What about when there were all the corpses and they threw them into a building and then lit the building on fire? Does that happen?
I guess another way
is like, what do they do with the bodies that were infected with this stuff?
Yeah. Because
you can't throw them into the ocean.
I did read some stuff that they do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Is that what you would do? Let's go like apocalyptic scenario.
Cremation, I feel cremation like is the best
would, way. Right. And essentially, but if you're a makeshift crematorium, right?
Yeah.
Just to burn everything, yeah.
Cremation is kind of like clean sweep. Like
it's a nice way of saying burn the bodies when they're already dead.
You know? That's true. That's
it's
a
like
much
the
nicer.
The clean sweep, they would also be killing people who weren't infected.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So everyone around.
Yeah.
Yeah. A clean sweep.
It was clean. It was just clean.
So wait, where are we on Ebola now?
They're waiting for. So it happens. So you get Ebola outbreaks in regions around like the Congo, and that's been happening each year in parts of Africa. So that will probably start to happen again. The question is, how big will the outbreak be, and how?
Is it sort of like a different mutation each year?
No, but it's there's seasonal factors that contribute to whether the spread of the disease based on interaction with, the animals in the environment. Mm-hmm. So we're likely to see another, so there'll be more outbreaks. There have been outbreaks that have, but they've been containing them much better in recent years. Mm. There's been a lot more resources that have gone into it. So there hasn't been the scare that there was when we had people who were returning from an Ebola outbreak in Africa coming back to the United States, and then the fear that they were infected.
Positive semi.
Sounds like
so
great
it has
news to me.
It has yeah. yeah things have improved.
Okay.
Do mosquitoes tell me about mosquitoes? Are they going to infect me? Because one time when I was like 12, someone was like, mosquitoes carry AIDS, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
I get bit by mosquitoes all the time. So that was probably a lie. He was probably lying, huh?
That was, yes.
He was probably flirting
but
with me.
But there are... Yeah, he probably wanted...
yeah.
I think...
Yeah.
But there are mosquitoes that carry all kinds of diseases. That's like a
there are.
Legit...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. But not Ebola.
Not Ebola. All right.
Not Ebola, but other terrible crap that could
fever.
Kill you.
Yellow fever?
Yellow fever, dengue fever, various parasite-based diseases... From malaria, for instance.
Oh, right. The big one.
Yeah.
Terrible. this is just off the top of my head, but is like man-made climate change, is, do you think that will cause more of these outbreaks? Like,
That is definitely something people are thinking about, whether it will. It will certainly cause... So one fear is that actually mosquitoes who normally cannot survive in this environment, you know, in environment, let's say in the southern part of the United States, will now be able to, ones that can carry, ones that do carry diseases. So that is one fear that of something that could change.
Sweet. But we're doing everything possible to avoid that, obviously.
Oh, to avoid climate change, yeah.
Yeah, they seem like they know what they're doing and totally believe in science.
Yep.
They need a watch outbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you make
that in the West Wing?
Could you make that happen? Could you make a recommendation?
Yeah.
So that everyone in the White House watches Outbreak?
Yeah. You know what? They'd probably love it.
Because they love like to listen to us scientists. Yeah.
Yeah, also true. Sorry about that. They really should. From me to you, the people up there should listen to you guys, and you guys only, I think. So there's a few really funny scenes of, like, CGI molecules spreading through air ducts and stuff like that. That scene in particular I thought was hilarious. Dustin Hoffman's in this one room and he is like realizing that it's gone airborne, and so he like looks up at an air duct, and then the camera goes in the air duct through, you know, the, whatever air ducts, hallway, and then like down into another room, and there's Dustin Hoffman again, like he just ran there and he's like, oh my god, it's airborne, like he's just realizing it by following. So anyway, I thought that was incredibly stupid and like a weird sketch. But is that accurate? Like, do... And then there was the movie theater one where you can see particles.
When he coughed.
Right. Or, sneezed or something. He like let out this emission of...
Yeah, and it was like spittle everywhere. Like spittle all over the movie theater. Yes. So this guy has the projection of a magician. Like, I don't know how he does that.
And then they were all sick. Like, everybody there was then at the hospital.
Yeah.
That's what they said. They were like, oh, yeah, apparently it was all in a movie theater. So is that, like, if I'm in a movie theater and a guy over there sneezes and he's sick, am I screwed?
No.
Okay. Good news.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You're going to make it.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, you're right.
There are, you know, the common cold. You cough, you sneeze, you spread that, you know, you spread that virus. But you know, if somebody coughs and sneezes in a theater, the whole place doesn't get it. Okay. Maybe somebody next to the person gets it.
There's like a little range there.
There's a little range, yeah.
Okay. Now,
but this is very bad disease.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Motaba.
No.
Yes. Yeah. What? The cold? No.
No, the cold's fine. We've all done that.
Yeah.
Motaba.
Motaba.
It's very contagious.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're glad it doesn't actually exist.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And going back to how stupid I am, on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say 1 being incredibly stupid, 10 being you, I haven't got my flu shot. Should I have got my flu shot? Did you get your flu
shot? I did. I heard it was very good this year.
The flu was very good, or the shot?
They always say stuff like that, like, don't bother with the flu shot. It doesn't actually work this year. But
this year, like, it's no good.
This year, oh, man, that flu shot's going to get them.
So, yeah, Dr. I've Beth? Had friends, and I'm talking, like, very recently in the last few days, just been incapacitated for, like, a week at a time because of the flu, and I don't have my flu shot. And so I'm, like, internally losing it. Should I be? Does it? Am I fine? I take vitamins.
Dr. Beth, please diagnose him.
Yeah.
I know.
How do I look?
So, all right. Vaccines definitely can work, and they definitely can...
cause autism. No? Just
no.
Kidding.
No. Spreading propaganda about...
I know.
Guys, vaccinate kids.
Indeed. No, but the virus... So, flu... You definitely can help yourself by getting a flu vaccine, right? It'll make it less likely that you're going to get the flu, or if you get it, it's not nearly as bad, right? Now, you are helped because you're a young person who is not likely to have, you know, to have secondary complications and actually have a fatal outcome from the flu.
Okay. You don't know how old I am exactly, but fair enough.
True. No, but you're not old either.
That's true.
Okay.
So you're, you know, you're rolling the dice, but your chances are good that even if you get the flu, it'll be terrible, but you'll survive it, right?
Okay. Just get your flu shot.
I should get the flu shot.
They have them everywhere.
Like Walgreens.
For example.
Is that where they have the flu?
They do.
I feel like I see signs sometimes and I'm just a moron who hasn't got it yet.
They brought shots into my office.
They what?
They were like doing like a flu shot drive at my office.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, stick me. I was the first one up, so.
Wow.
Yeah, super ballsy. Chill. It didn't feel good, though. It kind of hurt.
Oh, so maybe I shouldn't get it.
Yeah, probably not worth it. Just die from the flu because it's a little prick.
So you got your flu shot.
Not yet.
Oh, my God.
That is the craziest part.
I guess I'm the smartest one in here.
Yeah,
indeed.
Really? Yeah. So why didn't you get your flu? You don't think about this?
I
feel like it would be in your head all day, every day. You're studying diseases.
Flu.
Yes, but I don't think flu every day. And I usually get kind of, and it was, why not? I have no good reason other than I have no good reason.
Walgreens.
Wow. I feel so good having this in common with you. Is that weird?
Well, now I feel completely left out.
No,
this
you're
is
a
why
genius.
Groups of three never work.
That's the whole basis of this podcast, so I hope that it works out.
It's true.
That makes me feel so much better. Are there things like, do you do like active things to avoid getting sick in general? I mean, besides the obvious, you know, wash your hands, but is there like, I don't know, tricks of the trade that I'm not thinking about?
No.
Okay.
Washing your hands is actually a really good thing.
Okay.
Right?
That's the end all, pretty much.
It is.
Got it.
What about just touching your eyes all the time?
Yeah, is that cool?
Is that good? Dr. Beth hates me. She just like death stared at me.
What do you mean by that?
I would prefer if you took your flu shot ass out of here.
Can't stand people who get this flu shot, man. Okay.
Yeah, I am going to get a complex about it, I think.
Honestly, I've just by looking stuff up this morning, I'm now like I killed a mosquito earlier and it was on my neck and it was the first time in I don't even know how many years where I wasn't like it grossed me out because it was a mosquito and it was on me and that was gross enough for me. Mm-hmm. But then I immediately was like, what if it was carrying something? Who was it? What was it on before? You know, and now I'm in this thought spiral of chaos.
Dr. Beth?
That's not a good place.
I know. You seem so like cool, calm, collected.
Yeah, you are calm.
It's okay. So there is always a small risk with a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
But in this area, your risk of getting ill, getting a disease, is actually pretty small.
Okay.
So
numbers
I know
game.
That it's
nice.
A numbers game. And you'll get some subsequent symptoms later on, and hopefully you can then if you're get them treated, and it'll all be fine in the end.
Okay.
So.
I'm from South Florida, so I would get mosquito bitten constantly down there.
Yeah.
And then I don't think about it when I'm up here or that I think it's that bad. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a little itchy, whatever. But after the outbreak,
yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows what's going to happen.
This thing is driving me crazy. I wanted to ask, somebody at one point is sick and says, maybe you should give me gamma globulin. And I thought that was just a really funny phrase, so I wanted to know what that meant.
Gamma globulin?
Yeah.
Which is a real thing. It's meant to kind of boost your immune system.
Okay.
So to make it more effective.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, I love that.
Why can't we take that? Should I take that instead of the flu shot?
Gamma globulin.
Gamma globulin.
It sounds just like a booster that you'd get at the smoothie shop.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll take a little CBD and some whey protein and gamma globulin. Thank you so much. That'll be 95.
I don't know if you get so I it's not given out that often. It's more and I don't know what the consequences are of regularly taking it.
Oh,
so
sounds like a test.
Yeah, I guess let's take some you and I, Zoe, and then just see.
Let's go back, get that gamma globulin.
Hey, by the dumpster, I know a guy giving out gamma globulin.
Eat a bunch of romaine lettuce and see what happens.
Do you eat? Is that's something I should ask? Actually, is there things that you avoid eating?
No.
You eat all kinds of stuff.
Capuchin monkeys?
Okay, no, I don't eat that.
Okay, that's probably good.
And I would, no. So, no, there's not really anything I avoid eating. I mean, I mostly...
Well, but how can I trust you? You don't even have your flu shots.
I know.
That's true.
I mean, fast food? You eat fast food?
I'll eat fast food. I try not to, but...
You bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Sitting here with two bad girls. Said on your website.
Oh, yeah. It is. Girl, so. I am a bad girl. It's true. Thanks for looking at my website.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I had to. I'm doing research already.
Yeah, it's
I need
true.
To take
it's
a break
true.
From these replicating, disgusting, you know.
My website is a .org, so.
Yeah, so I trust. All these facts are from there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to also just ask about the CDC. They have an epidemic control center. And so I was wondering, that was in the movie. And so I was just wondering, is that like accurate? What do they do there? Is it like an ongoing? Are they always going from like site to site rescuing people? Are they testing stuff? What's the whole deal there?
So the CDC does keep track of basically any number of disease outbreaks in the country. So, but they monitor everything from infectious disease to cancer to all sorts of diseases. So they're monitoring where and the level of all sorts of diseases. So okay. Partly, and they also then are, let's say there was an outbreak of some infectious disease, they will send people out to figure out where the source of that disease is coming from, because usually then you can stop it. So then if you know where it's coming from, you can then hopefully stop future outbreaks. So they do that. So
okay. How much of it is like the CDC versus the military? Because in this in Outbreak, it was like kind of a joint venture between the CDC and the military, a.k.a. Dustin Hoffman.
Right. He was the link.
He was the link.
Yeah.
As far as I know, this should all be the CDC, and it shouldn't be the military.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, because they seem vicious.
Wow, hole-punched.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, they were bad.
Wolfgang Peterson.
Yeah, this one, like, fake city in California that had the outbreak, they basically sent, like, gajillions of troops and their tanks there to, like, make sure no one got in or out.
Yeah, they made a curfew.
Well, so if you were going to quarantine a town, though, then that goes beyond the CDC, right? If you were going to actually quarantine a town, you'd have to call in some sort of police or National Guard service, something to actually... I don't know if we've ever quarantined a town. People have been quarantined.
That's a good sign. Yeah, that's good. Right. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, lock them up. Lock them up.
Yeah. Lock her up.
Lock her up.
Get into the politics of it. Okay, I wanted to comment on something you said a minute ago, which is that if you can find the host, that you can probably stop the disease. So this was the basic plot point of the film, is that the monkey, which they kept showing.
Betsy. She has a name.
I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. Betsy was the host. And so the whole point was, if we can capture this host, which, by the way, one of the funniest scenes of all time
best.
Is Cuba Gooding Jr. shooting a trank dart at Betsy.
Betsy's reaction was like, wow! Like, she, like, it was very strange.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. is, like, by a bush. And so all you see, because it's impossible to actually shoot, like, wide shot of
they
it.
They use a live child to lure out the monkey.
Yeah, they use this woman's daughter. And she's like, I don't know why you would let this happen. Yeah. But, I don't know. The whole sequence of, like, just shots of Cuba Gooding Jr. aiming in the bush, and then just these, like, really close-up shots of the monkey, I was, like, dying at that part. But anyway, the whole point is that if they get the monkey, they can get an anti-serum or some crap, and that will save everybody.
Because the monkey's, like, immune, right? That's what they were saying. Because the monkey isn't showing symptoms.
And here's where we got to the unbelievable part of the film. And
unbelievable, like, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, that one part
was phenomenal.
Really good.
So that one tiny monkey was not going to produce enough anti-serum for all the people in that town. It was just impossible.
Okay. I didn't even think about that. That's great. And how fast could you, I don't know what the word is, but like he tells him really quickly. And by the way, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character has so many skills.
He's very good at science.
It's like it's day one, but
and
he can
helicopter.
Do it all. And right, he can fly a helicopter. He's a professional. He's like going real low and under bridges.
So low.
And then he can also make this vaccine so fast. It was like 5 minutes. He went into the lab. He's like, I have it.
Yes, that does not work that way.
Okay. Well, what if, because in the movie they already had the serum for the first kind of disease before it mutated into the airborne kind.
Yes.
And they were like, use that as a base.
Oh, yeah. Does that make sense?
Not a thing, right?
No, it won't. So you might be able to do something with that, but it'd take a lot of time.
Right.
And it's no guarantee you could actually use that and build on. You might try, but it may fail, right?
Right. So what you're saying is the only way to eradicate this town of Motaba is a clean sweep.
That's what you would have done.
Yeah.
I mean, those people are dying either way.
You've got to do a clean sweep.
There's got to be a better way, but it's not coming to mind at the moment. So,
listen, Dr. Beth, we need you on record. Are we doing a clean sweep of Cedar Creek, or are we not?
Cedar Creek, California. Beautiful town.
It's a great place, but...
Love the main street.
But the people there...
very ill.
They're very ill. What are we going to do here?
Okay.
There's just one monkey.
Yeah.
So the whole need to blow up the town is the idea that if you don't, the entire country, that big map is all going to turn red really fast.
I love that part, too. Yeah, that was the map so was funny. Good.
There's just no way it's going to do that quite so evenly, right. quite so
hours,
fast.
36 hours,
also, the cities on there were like Denver, like not even like the biggest hubs in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, kill them. It's clean sweep Denver. Why not, you know?
What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole, of course, for those who haven't seen it, the whole map gets completely covered with these red dots.
Even the most rural parts of the United States.
Right. Yeah, yeah, just covered. Just the whole thing is red by 48 hours.
Yeah, so I disagree with that premise, and for that reason, I wouldn't clean sweep the town.
It's very airborne, though.
Yeah, it's super airborne.
Yeah, I don't know.
Still.
All right.
I guess that's bullsh.
I mean, I pretty much covered everything here, I think. I think we pretty much cured Mataba.
Yeah, I think so. It's no longer a threat.
No, I think we're good. Is there any other questions you got, inquiries, something? Disease-ridden monkey.
Honestly, I feel like Dr. Beth is ready to strangle me.
Yeah, she's really livid. That's true. Yeah.
Stop making jokes about Ebola. It's like I can't. So,
anything you want to? We usually do like a little, you know, a plugs section. Is there something you want to inform people of that they should know about? I mean, obviously they should take your classes. Are you teaching there at UCLA?
Oh, sorry, I do teach at UCLA.
There's also a lab that's like named after you. Is that correct? Isn't there a, hold on a second. You're the principal investigator of the Lazazera lab.
What?
So this not being all that special, because every professor has who does research has their lab.
How many professors have their own lab?
Well, all of them, yeah.
All of them?
Yeah, but yours is the best.
If you're in the sciences, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yours is the best.
I'm sure it's the best.
I'm sure.
Lab.
Would you like to shout out your favorite undergrad or?
Yeah.
To pick one out and leave the rest behind.
You know there's one, though.
Yeah.
Just say yes or no if there's one that you like the best.
No.
Okay,
we can't
that was
do
a yes.
That.
Yeah, that was definitely
and also,
a yes.
Should we do a clean sweep?
Oh, yeah. Clean sweep of UCLA or?
No, yeah. No clean sweeps. That's just, okay. It's a bad practice.
And just, yeah, any info you want to get out there about anything, disease, your classes, your research?
We have a lot of students, but I hope people keep coming to UCLA, keep studying microbiology.
Yes.
It's an important field, not just for disease, but for, you know, if you want to deal with climate change, microbes are involved. If you want to think about how to create better food practices, microbes are involved. So come study microbiology.
I think what you're saying is less comedy writers, more microbiologists.
Yeah. Is that what you're telling us?
Because I agree.
What are we doing?
Not even one single clue.
Let's cure lettuce first then maybe make some jokes. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, I'm more of an arugula fan than a romaine fan, so I'm fine.
No, same. Does arugula get
I haven't heard about it. So.
That's what makes it so bitter. Just kidding.
The diseases
yeah,
that are on
it's the
it.
Disease.
Zoe, how can people find you? What's up with you?
Yeah, what's up? You can listen to my podcast, Bad Boy Pod.
Bad Boy Pod.
Bad Boy Pod. Great. And I guess, like, follow me on Twitter. Zoe Klar.
Zoe Klar.
It's just my name, so
easy.
Don't K-L-A-R.
Even fret.
K-L-A-R.
Yeah, and
brief.
Zoe normal way.
Zoe normal way, not like Zooey Deschanel, which like totally botched up everything.
Yeah.
For me.
I mean, for a lot of us.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah,
she's so
rude.
Quirky, though.
And what's your podcast about?
Basically, me and my friend talk about a different male celebrity every week who we don't like. And that's it.
And this week it'll be Kevin Spacey.
This week it'll be Kevin Spacey from Outbreak. Oh, I do want to mention Kevin Spacey's dye job, which was very bad. He had like strawberry blonde hair, and I was like, this is unrealistic, bad science.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like we learned a lot. I'm sufficiently frightened.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay.
You
Bye.
Too.
Thank you.
You too. Yeah.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our social media producers are Kate Baker and EJ Gullett, and the Antidote producer is Brett Kushner.
You can follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show. That's at Bad Science Show. Send us an email at badscience@seeker.com. And please leave us an iTunes review letting us know what you think of the show. That lets other people hear about the show, which I really appreciate. So thank you so much for those that have done that. And thank you so much for those that will do that. Please join us next week. We will be talking about Anaconda. If you want to learn more about how diseases work, you should watch the new Seeker show called Sick, which premieres on Saturday. Sick dives into the fascinating science behind what makes us ill by interviewing doctors, visiting research centers, and utilizing in-depth animations to help viewers understand what's really going on inside their bodies. So check out Sick. It comes on this Saturday, and I will see you next week. Bye.